Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3, the show where we talk about a new game every week. My name's Logan Myrie, and I'm joined, as always, by my esteemed co-host and sound engineer, the guy who actually does all the work, Eric Kraus. Eric, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little flabbergasted. I came in to do this podcast. Usually I make a whole prep sheet for these. You know, I get all the information. I have all the fun facts. I have my thoughts organized. Mm-hmm. It was on my laptop. My laptop at home in my backpack.
Yeah. So you've been on a series of just losing things all day.
I left originally because we were doing some other stuff today. And I left because I had to go find my wallet, and I was starving, and I needed some food.
At least this time, you know where your backpack is.
Yeah, it's at my house.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the prep sheets are just kind of a way for me to say I have something.
Yeah,
and
you want to just feel like you're doing some work on this show. It's not entirely me doing everything.
Listen, I'm just the front man, you know what I mean? Think about it, like you know, the front man for a band, they're just singing, you know what I mean? They're not playing any instruments, usually.
Yeah.
That's me. That's my role in this situation. Not to talk shit about any front men. You know what I mean? They're doing the singing.
It sounds like you're talking shit about front men.
No.
I guess you're saying you are one, so there you go.
Yeah. That's just where I live. Eric, so today, before we get to our game, which I'm very excited to talk about.
It's a bit of a special circumstance today, too, I'd say, about our game. Because we both love this game. It's not just one of us.
Yeah. So normally it's, you know, it's one person that's kind of like the one in the chair, you know what I mean? The one who's getting interviewed. But we're just talking about this game. Before that, it's the Hot Take Corner.
Yes.
It's the podcast within a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a doozy today. Because I know what you're going to say, and
so,
I want you to.
We recorded 2 episodes, our 0 and our 0.5, where you had a hot take about pizza. Those will be released eventually, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe at some point.
They were just basically test episodes to figure everything out. And so I have another pizza-related hot take, because pizza, as you know, a very debatable topic. People talk about pineapple being on it, whether it should or shouldn't be there.
Before we do this, how do you feel about pineapple on the pizza?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it's fine. Right?
Yeah, I like pineapple on
pizza. Don't be a baby. It's fine.
Pineapple and jalapeno, ooh, get that sweet and spicy.
I've never tried that, but that sounds good, actually. Yeah, you're throwing it
really
out there.
Really good. Get the sweet and spicy. Great for your mouth.
All right, let's
good
get down
for
to
the
it.
Flavors.
What's this pizza-related
hot take? So my pizza-related hot take is pepperoni is an overrated pizza topping.
But it's like, it's the quintessential pizza topping. That's what I don't understand.
Exactly. It's not. It really isn't. You don't have to have pepperoni on your pizza. When's the last time you ordered a pizza and got pepperoni on it?
Always.
I don't.
Because usually I go for the meat lovers. I'm a big lover of the meat.
Yeah, but then you get like sausage or ham.
But the pepperoni's still on there because it's necessary.
No. But like the only time I ever eat pepperoni on a pizza is when it's like those store-bought frozen pizzas. Those Jack's pizzas, like those come with pepperoni and I'll eat it on there.
Well, yeah, but you could just buy a fucking sausage.
Well, yeah, but I get like the Supreme pizzas that have like everything on it because those are good.
That's a whole nother topic. Supreme pizza's bad. Always.
No.
Too many veggies.
Exactly.
Pizza's not healthy. Don't even try to pretend it is.
I'm not trying to be healthy. I just like vegetables.
You're a liar. No. You know who likes vegetables? Healthy people.
I am a healthy person.
Yeah,
so.
you're going for the runs and stuff. I got sick, and you told me. You said, go for a run.
Yeah,
I went, what the fuck do you mean?
I have a race in 2 days that I'm totally not prepared for.
Oh, shit. Anyways, you know, I have a lot to say about this, but really my whole thing is that you're wrong. Pepperoni is the pizza topping. And you can sample other things. You can put whatever you want on a pizza.
It doesn't have to be the pizza topping. There's so many other things you could put on a pizza that it's like you don't need the extra cholesterol from the pepperoni.
Damn. Oh, see, yeah, it is a health thing, you nerd.
It's not really. If I'm trying to be healthy, I'm not eating pizza.
All right. But like, so why do you think pepperoni is the, why do you think it's just people are sheep? They're like, oh, everyone's eating pepperoni on pizza.
No, it doesn't go that deep to where I think we're being herded.
Yeah, are we being herded? Are the pepperoni industries hurting us?
But I just don't think, people seem to think that pepperoni is like a vital topic to have on a pizza.
Okay.
And like, it's always the go-to. You're in a group, you're at a party or something, and everyone's like, oh, let's get a pizza. And for some reason, it's an assumed default that pepperoni should be the topping that you get if, like, there's a lot of people and you don't want to decide for everyone.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It is the default. I went into this with the intention of roasting you. I said, this is stupid, you're dumb. But, like, you've kind of convinced me a little bit. This hot take is it's a good one. Yeah. And I think maybe, yeah, as a society, we should move away from pepperoni. You can get it on your pizza, but just not all the time.
Yeah. Change it up. Get some pineapple and jalapeno.
All right. Are you ready to talk about this game?
I am ready to talk about this game.
Today, we are talking about Spider-Man.
PS4.
That's a weird thing, because the title's just Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. But, like, you can't just say, there's a lot of Spider-Man
games.
There's
a lot of Spider-Man games.
Yeah, it's the newest Spider-Man game. It's the best Spider-Man game.
Yeah.
It is the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man game.
It's the best Spider-Man game.
Yeah. Unless you came with something, I am going to do the 6 words to describe this game.
I did not, so feel okay. free.
Well, I just wrote, because I didn't have my prep sheet, so I just wrote this now.
Okay.
It's Spider-Man, and he's swinging around.
It's Spider-Man. Is Spider-Man? No, it's hyphenated.
So yeah, so it's one word.
And he's swinging around.
Yep,
okay,
6
yeah,
words.
Checks out.
Yeah, yeah, I counted. I know how to count. Anyways, that was just, that's a formality. That doesn't, you know what? The 6 words don't matter so much for this game.
I mean, that's what this game is. It's Spider-Man, yeah. And you're swinging around. And
that's the best part about this game, is Jesus, he's swinging around.
So I guess let's start off from there, is the swinging.
Not yet.
Oh, you good?
I got some facts. Okay. I just want to lay a baseline. If you've been living under a rock and you don't know anything about this game, I'm just going to tell you what it is quick.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man, developed by Insomniac Games, published by Sony Interactive Entertainment. The game was released on September 7th of this year to tons of praise. The creative director of this game, interestingly, was Brian Intihar, formerly an editor at 1UP and EGM. He left for Insomniac however many years ago, I didn't get that far, to be a community manager. And then at some point down the line, they said, hey, do you want to make a game, I guess? This is
what I'm really interested about.
I want to know who the fuck... Can we get him? We should have gotten him on the show.
How the hell did he go from being a community manager to being the game director on Spider-Man?
On Spider-Man. That's
ridiculous.
Huge. He made it. You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, like... He worked in video game journalism, right?
Mm-hmm.
1UP doesn't exist anymore. EGM...
Maybe.
Doesn't exist in the capacity that we thought it existed.
Yeah, it's Electronic Gaming Magazine, and they don't exist. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Not in the same way. And then he left to be a community manager, which is kind of, that transition makes sense, right?
Yeah.
That's like, you know what I mean? You're done with the journalism, the stuff, you go work in the industry, that's fine. And then they just went, make a game.
Yeah. not just make a game, make Spider-Man.
Yeah. I know he was doing some PR stuff for like Resistance at some point. I don't know how I assume he moved up through the ranks. That's the because you know, 1UP and EGM has not been a thing for quite a while. And so I don't know this dude that well, but I just found it so interesting. Like I don't know. I'm so curious about how this all happened.
I'm really curious too, because that's the gap. I'm sure we could probably find out somewhere, but that requires work on our part. But it's definitely the most interesting part is. He had to just be moving up the ranks internally or something.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be involved with something. Because, I don't know, do you have to know how to code and do all that stuff?
To be a creative director?
Yeah.
Probably not. There's just like, when you
oversee all the decisions and stuff.
Yeah, he's kind of they always describe him as like, they're the visionary. They're the one who's like, who has like the overall vision for the store, you know, for the game. They're the ones who kind of making the final decisions. They're like, they're the boss man.
Yeah.
So I just find that's such a weird position, too, because a lot of times that almost seems like a PR thing, because like, you see the creative directors, they're out there. They're the ones talking to the press. They're the ones kind of.
Well, lately.
Well, that seems to be more of a modern trend. You see it with Corey Barlog. You see it with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess Hideo Kojima's kind of always been that guy.
I don't know. Hideo is weird.
Yeah, that's a topic for a different day. He's a guy doing out there.
Death Stranding never comes.
No, that's not a real game.
Next week's hot take, Death Stranding's never
coming. Yeah,
out.
That's
it's
a good
even
one.
A real game.
Yeah, okay. You can't spoil the hot take though.
I don't know. Is it a spoiler? It won't actually.
you're right. Okay. All right. I guess we could speculate, but Brian's out there on Twitter. Follow him. He seems to be a cool guy. He seems nice.
Yeah, I'd like to meet him.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we can. I'm telling you, we can get him on the show, but he can't talk about Spider-Man because we're already talking about it. So he has to pick a different game.
I mean, we could. Talk about a game he loves, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point of the show. I doubt he'd want to talk about Spider-Man anymore.
Yeah, that's true. At that point, you think he's sick of it? He's like, nah, fuck you guys. I don't want to talk about this game anymore.
I can't imagine he's sick of it. You don't work on something for 5 years and then just get sick of it.
Yeah, you're right. All right, let's get down to this game.
Mm-hmm.
Just baseline thoughts, what'd you think of it? You platinumed it, no?
I just platinumed it last night before we were recording this. And holy crap, was this one of the funnest games I've played all year.
Yeah, right? It's a good time. Like... It's insane to me that this game came out this year, and it came out in a year where I'm not going to say it's the game of the year.
Right.
Like, what a year this has been, right? Mm-hmm. 2018 has been a year of the games.
Another hot take is we keep saying this year the games bullshit every year. We've been saying this since 2016. This is the year of games. I think it's just finally time to admit that games are just fucking awesome now, and every time a new game comes out, it's just going to be awesome.
I'm into that. I love getting hyped for things, but it's just crazy to me that this game came out and it's not. Yeah. I loved it. I loved it so much. I loved pretty much. I mean, I have some problems with it that we'll talk about at some point.
Yeah, there's some story beats that we have problems with, but like overall, the gameplay.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fun.
It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
I would
say this game's more fun to play than God of War, because God of War is like kind of that's my definitive game of the year. I don't care what the fuck comes out the rest of this year. That's gonna be my favorite. Mm. But like. I think I had more fun playing Spider-Man.
I for sure had more fun playing Spider-Man. Because I platinumed Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I did not platinum God of War.
I'm working on it. That game's fucking hard.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that hard.
But like just, I was talking about this with my friend. The reason I platinumed Spider-Man is it's just fun to, just even moving in Spider-Man mm-hmm. is fun.
Yes.
It's not fun to move in God of War. Like you're
it's fun running. To throw the axe.
It's fun to fight and throw the axe, yeah, in God of War, but that's not what you're doing the whole time.
Yeah.
In Spider-Man, it's fun to fight and it's fun to move.
Yeah.
Everything you're doing the whole time is fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It
was surprisingly heavy. Like there's some stuff in there that I was like, wow, this game is.
Oh yeah, and the story is incredible.
Yeah.
It has some weird beats, but you know, video
Yeah, they
game
ask
story
you to
line.
Believe some weird stuff, but it's
yeah.
fine.
Video game storyline and video game comic book storyline.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It gets a little thing. But they have some heavy beats in there.
Yeah, but overall the game is, I mean, it's lighthearted, it's fun, it's goofy, it's mm-hmm. a good time. I had realized when I beat the game, I was like, you know what, I don't think there was a single point in this entire game where I just ran down the street. Because there's no point. I just want to be out there swinging.
I had some moments. I never ran down the street because I don't even. There's probably. I would like to see like a stats sheet of this game.
Like time spent on the ground.
Yeah, time spent None. On the ground. Like and time spent in the air. Like that'd be an awesome ratio to see. But like I had some moments where it's just like the little rarely seen parkour mechanic mm-hmm. in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like. It's really fun to actually watch him
yeah.
do, but I do it like on buildings or stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I just hold R2 and run on the buildings and kind of parkour from building to building.
Yeah, yeah. Because
like that's just fun to see, and why not? But it's overall just faster
yeah.
to swing and web zip around.
Yeah, because I had seen when the game came out, you know, you saw people posting GIFs and stuff of him like doing the finger guns to people,
mm-hmm.
and I was just like, oh, I didn't like really interact with civilians just because I was always up there moving around.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I did it for the trophy, and that's the only time I ever did it.
There's a trophy?
Yeah, you have to, like, interact with 10 civilians or something.
Oh, okay.
So the way I did it, to just get it done in one swoop, is whenever there's, like, a prisoner thing, what are those called? Prisoner crime things that pop up on the menu to go do. And, like, there's always a lot of people that will pile up right there because they're, I don't know, cowering or being held hostage or whatever. And so I just finished the event, and then there's a ton of people there, and you just do it, like, three times. And because, like, a bunch of people saw you do it, it's, like, counts it.
Oh, okay.
And so you just get it done really quick.
Yeah, that makes sense. I have not platinumed this game yet, but I'm going to within the next couple days.
Honestly, I'm kind of sad I platinumed it.
Yeah, I want to play it again.
I want to keep yeah. playing it.
I'm not a person who replays games. Like, I just don't, I never really
yeah,
find
Yeah, I don't replay games either.
But I might. I really might replay this game.
I don't think I will just because there's other stuff to play. And I'll just wait for the DLC. I think that's coming out within the next month or something.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be a good reason to jump. I'll definitely jump back in.
Yeah, so I'll just wait for that.
So I had this question. I was creating this prep sheet. And my first question was, do you think swinging in this game is more fun than throwing the axe in God of War?
Yeah, so this is a tough question, and
it's kind of a whatever.
You're basing it off of Brian Intihar's thing where he talked about on Kind of Funny, right? I assume that's
no. Wait,
in his
what are you referencing?
Oh, in Brian Intihar when he guests on Kind of Funny's Gamecast, or I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, they
whatever.
Did a spoiler cast.
Oh, spoiler cast. That's the word. They talk about this. Is they ask Brian what's better, swinging the axe or swinging on web?
Oh, you know it's funny. I listened to that. I don't remember that. But anyways,
you seem to have gaps in your memory a lot.
Yeah, so. I know, right?
Well, so what Brian said in that, I'm paraphrasing here, is that the axe is more fun just because you haven't done it before. It's a new thing.
Yeah, okay. I do remember this.
Yeah, and in Spider-Man, we've swung on a web as Spider-Man before. There's like 8 different games where you swing on a web as Spider-Man. And hell, Spider-Man 2, the swinging in Spider-Man PS4 is how you remember Spider-Man 2's swinging.
Yeah, okay.
So, I don't know. But that being said, I do think the swinging is better. Because there's just something so fun about being able to move around and having that much control.
Yeah. My favorite thing, so I disagree. I think throwing the axe was fucking just, that's what, I really do think that's one of my favorite things to do. It's so satisfying. We've talked about this at length in 0.5. But swinging, it's so, I was like, this is so fun. It took me a while to get my head kind of wrapped around like all of the different, like, you know, it's to where it's all natural and you're kind of, you know, moving fluidly. But one of my favorite things to do would be like dive and get really close to the ground.
Yeah.
And then you swing.
See how
and it
close you can get. Yeah.
And then you swing and you kind of get into this like really like, you kind of like feel the momentum in this game. The way that movement works in this game is just, it's really good.
Yeah. As long as we're comparing it to the axe. So one of the best things about the axe is the sound design, that sound of the hollow, thick wood hitting his hand as he catches it. And in this one, this just the sound, it's not just like a single sound like it is in God of War, but it's like a combination of all of the sound design, is where you get the wind, the sound of the wind rushing by you, and then there's that music cue that hits and like builds up as you're going down, and then it will like release as you release, and it's crazy how that even works. And one of the minor details that I loved, and I noticed it right away, is whenever he like has his comm or whatever and you're swinging, his voice sounds strained.
See, I didn't notice this until like I had seen like a tweet or something about it, and I was like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
I love this attention to detail.
I noticed it right away. I'm like, is his voice strained? And I wasn't quite sure, so I just landed on a roof while he was talking and it went away. I'm like, holy crap, that's insane.
I'm curious to know how they did that, because there's no way they just recorded all the lines twice, right? Like, that would be a
no. I think that's what they
really
did.
That would fucking suck. Like, I can't, like, I mean, I don't really know. Just for the VO, that's twice the work.
It was worth it, because it's freaking awesome.
Yeah,
and I mean, this game's the best-selling PlayStation game this year, so, and it was obviously worth it.
Oh, yeah. God damn. How did PlayStation get to this point? Like, where they're just, how did they get an exclusive Spider-Man game? Like, and then God of War came out this year?
They've been building to this for years. Like, PlayStation has always been an exclusive machine. They've always pushed out fantastic exclusives, and Spider-Man's just no exception. Now they're just the top, so they're getting these, like, high-end Marvel exclusives that they can do. And so, I mean, it's worth it. I mean, it sucks that Xbox players, or, like, people that only have an Xbox can't play it. I wish you could.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
you know, get a PS4.
Yeah, it sucks to be you. You made the wrong, I mean, I don't want to be like, you made the wrong choice, but, like, I just can't imagine, like, if you love single-player games, I really can't imagine owning an Xbox. Like,
yeah. I mean, there's just nothing.
I'm not trying
Xbox
to get it on this console
this is a
war
different
bullshit.
Yeah, okay.
But, like, I don't know, man. I'm just saying, like, I love Xbox. I've always loved Xbox. I was an Xbox 360 kid. I bought an Xbox One over a PS4 originally. But, like, I don't know, man. As far as just games, like, Sony just has them. Sony brings the games. Anyways, that's a whole nother thing. I wanted to get into kind of like talking about this game. We're going to spoil everything. We're getting in there.
So now we've done a pretty good job being spoiler free, but we are definitely getting into spoilers now.
Yeah.
So
if you haven't played this game, pause this right now, go play it, go buy a PS4, buy the game, play it. Just play it for 40 hours straight or whatever you're going to do. Don't sleep, come back and listen to it.
I think it's not a 40 hour main campaign.
Yeah. So what was like the big, what was the story beat that surprised you the most, like the big one? Because I mean,
well, if we're going the big one right away, it's spoilers. It's officially spoilers, so I'm giving you plenty of time before I say the biggest thing that happened to this game. Aunt May died. They killed off Aunt May.
Yeah, I couldn't. Oh man, that scene. I didn't think it would make me emotional, like when it was coming, but I was like, oh man, this is fucking sad.
Yeah,
because especially because he has the cure, you see him walk up, he's gonna do it, and he just can't. He's like, I can't fucking condemn everyone else to death
to save one person. And like in that moment too, like they nailed Spider-Man.
Yeah,
like all of Spider-Man's essence,
that's this whole game. They nailed Spider-Man. They nailed Peter Parker. They nailed it.
Yeah. And just the whole part where May's like on there and like take off your mask. I want to see my nephew. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, she knows he's Spider-Man. And it's like, of course she knows. Everyone knows.
Everyone in New York knows
this. Peter Parker.
Oh, man. Yeah, wait. You said something earlier that I thought was pretty funny about
everyone. Yeah, everyone in New York knows Peter Parker is Spider-Man, but they just don't let him know that they know.
Peter Parker just doesn't think anyone knows he's Spider-Man.
He doesn't cover up his voice. He is late to everything. He's probably bruised all the time. Everyone knows he's Spider-Man. And why he thought he could trick Doc Ock, one of the smartest people in the world, that he's not Spider-Man. Oh, I make his suits. Yeah, let's go with that lie.
Yeah. That was the one time I think I actually laughed, like in real life. I really chuckled when at that part where they're at the end and he's like, I can't remember the exact line, but he's like, oh, Peter. And he's like, you knew? Mm. And he goes, what, you knew? And I was like, of course he knew, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, that was dumb. And then the other story beat that I thought was very well done, very elegant, was the whole City Hall scene with the bombing. And I just thought that scene was incredible. I think they did a great job of respecting New York with that scene and doing a terrorist attack in New York. So
yeah, that's crazy. Because, I mean, I'm trying to think about that happening, like, in a game anywhere before now is kind of crazy. I don't know. It's kind of unheard of, right?
Yeah, so I think they did an excellent job with that. And I think Brian mentioned something about this somewhere in one of the many things I listened to, like that was a tough scene for them to do or whatever, just because like they have to treat it so perfectly. And I think they just did a really good job.
Mm-hmm. You can kind of see it coming, right? And it's really tense because you're like, oh, no.
And then you go through and play it as Miles.
Yeah.
And, like, that scene was probably, I think that's the end of Act 1, right?
Yep.
And, like, that scene was the other scene that kind of got me emotional because, like, there's these people, although it had some stupid, like, dumb parts in it. Like, Miles, whatever the mom's name is, comes and helps Miles, immediately runs back in to try to find Jefferson Davis.
Yeah.
And, like, you have to immediately follow her in. She's immediately trapped under something, which is like, oh, good, you ran back here under here, and now these service people have to help you instead of helping someone else they could have been helping because you were already out. You could have just stayed out. Mm-hmm. And then Miles immediately turns around and goes and does the same thing.
Yeah, I was surprised that Miles was in this game because I remember when they released that trailer where he was in it and I was like, oh shit, like I thought it was just like maybe some like little cameo
thing.
Yeah,
I did not know you were going to play him.
And for a while I was like, wait a fuck, are they gonna make Miles a character in this game? That would have been crazy, right? That would have blown up the world. But I know Brian was like, I also watched some.
Yeah,
stuff
I saw a lot of things that
where
was
he was like, this is a Peter Parker story.
Game, yeah.
But it's, I mean, it's really interesting to think about where that's gonna go, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the game, Miles has been bitten by a spider. He has Spider-Man powers now. Mm-hmm. You can't just not do anything with that. You know what I mean? Where's this going, right?
It'll be interesting because he's obviously going to be a playable character in the future, or he'll have his own game. And it'll be interesting how they treat that because are they going to kill Peter Parker or are they going to have him exist in the world at the same time? If you're doing that, why isn't one helping the other when a great situation happens? So
I'm really interested. You know what would be kind of crazy? And I'm just thinking about this now. What if they went because Miles Morales is obviously an important character, but like, what if they, I guess I don't know. I don't know about that much about Spider-Man, but like, what if they went like the Red Hood kind of thing where now he's a bad dude, like him and Peter have some sort of falling out. Now they have to fight, or you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, that'd be original. I don't think they've done that.
No, I don't think they would do that, but it's interesting to
think
about.
Yeah, I don't think they would. It would be a thing. My biggest concern is if you have them both existing in the world, why isn't one helping the other when this shit hits the fan? Mm-hmm. Which was kind of another one of my problems in this game is the Avengers are a real thing in this world. And so you don't know who's all an Avenger.
They're on the West Coast. That's what he said. Yeah,
they're on the West Coast. But okay, so if you're assuming the Avengers are a real thing, and we're just saying the Avengers, he never says Stark or anyone.
Nope. Well, Stark's mentioned.
Oh, is he?
Well, isn't he?
I don't remember.
There's some stuff with the Stark suits exist.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, so I guess we know Tony Stark. He's probably can be pseudo confirmed for this game, like in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably assume that the cast of Avengers is like in this game.
Okay, yeah.
And we know for as a fact that well, we know right now the Fantastic Four isn't in this game because the Baxter Building isn't a thing.
Yeah.
And so other than that, we can't really know who which heroes are in the game.
He mentions Daredevil.
Okay, so he does mention that. Was
yeah, because the Murdoch and Murdoch is a building, I think.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And there's the strange, whatever the Emporium's called. Whatever. What's it called? Sanctum Sanctorum. That's in there. And I guess you see Luke Cage's bar. And so are we assuming they're in the West Coast, too? When shit
yeah,
hits
no,
the
yeah.
fan,
Everyone,
when there's
everyone's on the West Coast.
A pandemic
right?
going down in New York.
Yeah, I don't. It's interesting to think about. There is some like, there's a lot of stuff that asks you to kind of suspend your disbelief.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem always, though. Like, that's the problem the movies have too, is like when they're standalone. Like, why isn't anyone else coming to help? When is it a world-ending thing? You know.
Mm-hmm. I thought Homecoming played with that pretty interestingly, though. Where like he is trying to get in contact with Tony Stark, but everyone's just like, nah, fuck off.
Yeah, and that one's not a world-ending thing, too. Yeah, like the Homecoming does it well, where this is like a neighborhood problem.
Yeah, it's just Michael Keaton Spidey. Being a dick.
Yeah, it's not gonna it can't really bother Iron Man when he's got like a world. He's like the world's like protector or whatever.
Yeah, it isn't because there's a. I mean, there's an Avengers game in development, correct? Mm-hmm. Is that Square Enix is doing something with that?
Yeah, Square Enix is developing the Avengers game, and that is tied to this universe.
Is that confirmed? There's now an MCU for games?
I believe so, because Brian Inthart said, like, this is the Iron Man of
shit.
So, like, they had to make this Marvel game, like, it had to be the Iron Man. It had to start everything for this. And, I mean, they did a hell of a good job.
Yeah.
If
no,
every
this is
game
great.
Is on this caliber, like, if they somehow make an Iron Man game and they make the flying in that Iron Man game as good as web swinging is in Spider-Man, I'm in.
Hell yeah. I mean, you got to think it's got to be, like, I don't know, like, the flying in, like, Anthem, from what we've seen, looks pretty cool. Like, I don't know, they just take the Anthem mechanic and put that in an Iron Man game.
It looks cool, but we don't know how it plays yet.
Yeah. I can't imagine the combat in an Iron Man game being as fun as this one, though.
I don't know. I'm sure there's ways you could do it. I just don't. I mean, I'm not a game designer, so I couldn't. I'm trying to think of other games where, like, the combat would be like that. I think if you went... Okay, so here's my pitch for an Iron Man game.
Okay.
Is you make it like God of War. It's got that close third-person camera, and you're, like... on Iron Man, and you kind of, it doesn't have to be one shot or whatever, but it's like you're close because obviously you're super powerful.
Yeah.
So they have to treat it like in God of War, where Kratos is a god. Like, he's super powerful, and you're in this suit, so you're pretty invulnerable. So it has to be, I think, a more linear game. It can't be an open world, which would be really hard. And so, like, I think you have maybe you can't, like, just shoot up in the air because it's not an open world game. And so you just make, like, certain combat elements. Like, you make it that God of War combat style where you're parrying and, like, dodging, and then you have your light and heavy attacks. But, like, it's Iron Man's abilities, and, like, he can do, like, blasts and beams out his hands. Or, like, you could have your super moves where he, like, shoots missiles out of his shoulders or whatever, or those, like, red lasers come out of his
hands.
That's
interesting to me. I don't know. We're not game designers. I'm not sure how this would
work. Yeah.
But we should probably. Maybe we'll come back to your Iron Man pitch at some point. But we should. We should probably get back on the topic.
I have to think about more. That's just what I'm thinking of. Like, literally off the top.
Okay. But this game, Spider-Man. I have one more bone to pick before I start praising it again. I want to talk about this Mr. Negative thing quick because we both ran into the same problem, and maybe we're just both fucking idiots. Mm-hmm. But is it just me, or does Peter Parker just? So at some point, does he just know that Martin Lee is Mr. Negative without ever seeing it?
Yeah, so we were kind of talking about this, and I think you saw on Reddit or something, right? That
yeah, someone in Reddit was like, no, you see him at the terrorist attack. He sees that it's Martin Lee, and I was like, do you? I don't remember this.
Because that was never made very clear at all about anything. And, like, it's just all of a sudden, like, I think it gets to the crane scene. And so this is what I was really confused about, because when I got to the crane scene, I'm like, oh, sweet. This is the scene they showed at E3.
Yeah.
And at the end of E3, he knocks the guy out of the helicopter, it's Mr. Negative. But in the game, it's not.
Yeah, it's just some random
guy. And
diet.
So I was like, oh, okay, so we don't know yet. But then the very next scene... or not the very next scene, but once you see him again, he knows he's Mr. Negative. And so I'm like... was he actually supposed to be in the helicopter? Because that would have made sense. Like, he sees him in the helicopter. He's super close. But at the thing, if that was at the terrorist attack at City Hall, if that was when he noticed, I just don't, it wasn't portrayed in a way that is like clear that he notices this guy's Martin Lee. Because does Martin Lee even show up? He doesn't, like, because the guy next to him just blows up.
Yeah, I don't even know if Martin Lee was there. I don't know.
And Peter gets blown up, too, in that scene because he's late to react because he protects MJ.
Yeah, and that's what, and that's how you end
and
up playing Miles.
And he's knocked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he plays Miles. So, no, I don't buy that. That whoever Reddit person, you know, you're right.
Yeah, it's just a random fucking plot. I don't think it ruins the game by any means. But
it doesn't because the whole game, you know Martin Lee is Mr. Negative, and it's further distinguish that Martin Lee is Mr. Negative when you break into his office.
Yeah.
And then there's that whole cool scene when you immediately leave his dark lair where Mr. Lee runs.
Yeah, and yep. So what did you think of well, Mr. Negative, it's kind of, I always love when they play with your expectations where it's like Mr. Negative's kind of seen as like the one orchestrating all of this kind of throughout the game. Is he kind of seen as like the main antagonist? Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of revealed that it's Doc Ock. This whole time he's been fucking organizing and doing all this crazy shit to organize the Sinister Six, mm-hmm. to terrorize Osborn. Uh-huh. And so I'm curious how you felt about, because I was also kind of assuming that Mr. Negative would only be the first third of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. I kind of also assumed that we were going to be dealing with some other stuff, but he really was prevalent throughout the entire game. And so I was curious about what you thought about kind of the way that the villainy was dealt in this game, because also you play you there's some great boss fights. I think the boss fights against Rhino and Scorpion and against Shocker and Vulture are fucking awesome.
Electro and Vulture.
Oh, Electro, my bad. Mm. Electro and Vulture are they're so cool.
Yeah.
Because you're fighting two of them at the same time. It feels so like chaotic and like the mechanics are great. It plays awesome. But I kind of was disappointed that they were like, I don't want to say shoehorned, but it was all, you do that all in the third act kind of, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted more. I wanted like more stuff in the, you know, throughout the game. I'm curious if you feel the same way.
Okay. So to answer your first question about the Doc Ock thing, I was keeping myself relatively spoiler free. I only ever saw the E3 stuff. Because I watched E3, so I had zero clue Octavius was in this game at all.
Yeah, me
and
either.
So when he shows up in like the first 15 minutes, I was like, "Oh shit, Octavius is in this game!" And then he's like a good guy.
Yeah, and you're like, "Is he going to be Doc Ock, or is he not going to be Doc Ock? Is that for a different like time, mm-hmm. or what's going on here?"
And like the game does a really good job of showing his descent into madness.
It's stressful because mm-hmm. you're like, at some point, this guy's going to fucking be Doc Ock.
Yeah,
and you see his fucking goggles around the lab, and you are like helping him make the technology that he uses to become Doc Ock.
And then they do that whole thing of the will he won't he thing where Peter convinces him like to remove the arms or whatever because the thing wasn't ready and it's interfering with his like emotions.
Yeah.
And so like, oh, maybe they're not gonna have him turn into like an evil guy and go insane. And then obviously he does. And the fight's pretty cool at the end.
Very satisfying. Oh, I love that fucking scene. That's so good.
I have
good.
A problem with it, but we can get into that after we talk about the other fights so we can get sick in order. And so I don't know if everything was shoehorned in at the end because the boss fights are always supposed to be at the end. And so I think they would have been more satisfying maybe if they had a bit more different mechanics to win. Because you just do the same thing the whole time to beat them.
Yeah. I thought they were fun though. Because I like the fact that you're, it's almost like it's a balancing act. You're trying to like take out one character while dealing with the other guy.
Yeah. While having to consistently dodge. Like the fights are relatively similar because you attack one while one person shoots something at you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other person's rushing you. Vulture and Rhino, they rush you. Electro and Scorpion, they shoot something at you. And so that they're relatively similar. And then one's in the air and one's on the ground. So I guess the fights are basically the same, but they're fun. And the commentary, one of the great parts about this game, is awesome during both the fights.
Yeah, yeah. I love his kind of his banter about like everything. It's really good.
I actually liked the parts where you have to locate them a little bit better, or when you're just finding each individual one because they've taken over a certain part.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought those were pretty cool. I really loved the Scorpion, like Scarecrow scene. Where he poisons you and, like, the poison waters are rising.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And then I was like, oh, this is getting really actually difficult because there's like very sparse buildings and the water's super high. And then all of a sudden those scorpion tails pop out and you have to start dodging those.
You have to start dodging those. It's great.
Yeah, that was a fun scene. Yeah, and then on to the last fight, the Doc Ock fight.
Yeah, what's your issue here?
So my issue here is the issue I have whenever Spider-Man fights Doc Ock. Is that Doc Ock is just a dude with some arms attached to him. And this game, they make a little bit of a point that he's got body armor on, but he's got nothing on his face. And Spider-Man...
Oh, yeah, and just beating the shit out of him.
Spider-Man, really fucking strong, literally catches cars that are moving at full speed and will stop him for no reason. And he's punching this old... I think in the game, he's 66.
And he's got, like, a degenerative bone disease or some shit.
He's got a degenerative bone disease, and he's this 66-year-old fucking dude, and you are Spider-Man punching him in the literal face. Like, it's not even like, oh, you can't even argue he's blocking it with the arms. Because literally a scene where you're on the side of the building is you go and you punch him in the face.
For a bunch of times. In a drastic amount of times.
And if you like say the argument, oh, Spider-Man pulls his punches so he doesn't kill people. Yeah. Well, guess what? He's going to knock this motherfucker out with one punch.
I guess, you know, I didn't think about that. You're suspending your disbelief. But like just the presentation of it, he's got like half his faces, half of his mask.
I love
broken.
The fight as a whole. That's just my problem.
I love that they stripped it. They like stripped the UI. It's just you like and Doc Ock kind
of
like
and on the side
up.
Of the building, it's raining. You got the new suit that's made out of the same thing his arms is and it's shattered.
Can we talk about the fact that Doc Ock has the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And like Spider-Man's all bruised up and shit, and he goes, "Oh, I know what I need to do." He's like, "I don't know if I can beat this guy." And then he goes to Doc Ock's lab, and he takes however much time it takes to build a suit, and he builds
another
an entirely new suit.
Another suspension of disbelief that you have to do, especially when playing open world games.
Yeah, I guess that's like a whole thing. But I was just like, "Oh, he like is taking the time to cook up this suit that doesn't really even have any new abilities that he needs."
It's more protection.
I guess,
it's made of the same material or whatever. It's armor. But, like, I mean, that's the same thing. Because, like, what? The muggers or the prisoners were coming and attacking Feast. And I was like, oh, I got some side missions I need to get done first. And so it's like, what? I guess in the game, they don't actually, during the story, they don't actually progress day, which I thought was pretty good, a good idea. Because then it helps to suspend that disbelief. Like, this is the same amount of time. And I thought another kind of clever thing they did is in the game it's like it goes like 2 days or like almost 3 days and I'm like, wow, he just hasn't slept yet, and they actually make a comment of like, I have not slept yet.
Oh shit. Yeah, I love the fact that it's like he's like, I can't pay. He gets evicted at one, but there's that literal scene where he's like, I don't know where I'm gonna sleep tonight. And I'm like, I really love that they play with that like actual like Peter Parker's broke as fuck.
Yeah, like he's a real person.
Yeah,
and he's like actually got responsibilities and stuff, and he's just broke so he can't even pay rent and he was evicted. Another thing that is tied to everyone knows Peter Parker as Spider-Man is he had a ton of spider stuff in his apartment.
He's
that
like,
oh,
my spider
away.
Stuff got thrown away.
Yeah.
So I was like, you keep it in your apartment?
You think, okay, also, you think if the landlord walks into his apartment to evict this guy and you see all this Spider-Man shit, you're not going to be like, maybe I shouldn't evict this guy. He might beat the shit out of me.
Yeah. Or, I mean, like, he's saving the city or whatever.
Yeah, so maybe I can throw him a bone and let him live in this apartment for a discount or something.
Yeah. All right, so we're running a little bit, and there are, like, a couple more things I want to make sure we touch on.
Okay.
What did you think of, like, the Mary Jane and, like, those? I want to know specifically what...
The sequences where you play him?
So the sequences when you're not Spider-Man, and I don't want to know what you think about Mary Jane and Miles as a as characters in the story.
I thought they're both excellent characters.
Yeah,
Mary
really good,
Jane
very well
done,
rounded.
Really well and very interesting in this. Yeah. She's probably my favorite character in the game, just because she's super interesting and like her and Peter's relationship like makes sense, mm-hmm. and it's something like they both still love each other, but they're broken up because of Peter being a super overprotective person.
Yeah, which
and,
makes sense if you're literal Spider-Man.
Yeah, and you get some of that in the game where Mary Jane's just like, I can't live with you always trying to protect me. Mm-hmm. Like, I can handle myself.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Miles stuff I also thought was super interesting because, like, you get his whole development from being not the shithead kid, but kind of a kid with no direction.
Yep.
And then his father dies, and then you get Peter as the mentor character. Another plot hole that I thought was weird is that Peter and MJ are just at this kid's funeral?
Yeah, yeah.
Or his father's
funeral? Well, I mean, I guess Peter wanted to be there because he knew Jefferson Davis, like, as Spider-Man, and so he just kind of showed up as Peter Parker.
Like, no one knows Peter Parker. Like, I guess he probably lied and said, I worked with your dad.
Well, he said, I was at the, he goes, I was at the ceremony.
Yeah, I guess.
And so I guess maybe that was the thing. He's like, oh, I saw your dad, like, get fucking blown up. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It was just real weird. And then, like, the fact that he goes up and talks to him right there.
That's a weird thing to do. Don't do that.
Yeah, like, it was kind of cliche, too, but I thought that was.
I like that they played with that, though, where Miles is kind of pissed off that he's trying to talk to him, where he's like, oh, you're just.
Yeah, that he doesn't even know this guy. Yeah, like, why are you trying to talk to me about my dad that literally just is dead in front of me? Yeah. So.
No, yeah, it was good. I loved, like, the whole dynamic between Peter and MJ, though, and kind of this, like, strained relationship. It felt super real. And that whole texting scene was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And because you, he's just flipping around the city. He's, like, flipping his phone around.
Yeah, keeps stopping every now and then to text.
He gets a text. He sends the wrong text. He starts flipping out about it. Yeah. It was really good. It was just very, like, wow, how relatable.
Yeah. And how he questions everything, or, like, what's this mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that was super good. And then with the scenes where you play as them, I liked it a lot in the beginning because it was a good, like, way to slow down the game. Mm-hmm. You get a nice change of pace.
Forces you to be stealthy and stuff.
But at the end of the game, I'm kind of like, I just want to be Spider-Man and beat these villains up.
And at the end of the game, they give MJ a taser. And so you're just going around fucking tasing people.
I'd rather just be Spider-Man doing this. Like, how are these people not noticing me at all? Like, they're supposed to be highly trained. Oh, a character I hated, actually, is the Sable lady.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Silver
and
Sable was lame.
Another plot hole is she all of a sudden is just willing to work with you and is, like, fine.
Yeah, well, she's like, oh, you inspired me. She's like, your like, bravery and shit inspired me. And I was like, I don't know, man. Because I know that Brian said that they were planning on doing some more with her, but I was just like, whatever. The whole Sable thing is kind of just like it's just this whole plot
it
device
really
to get these fucking, these prickheads into the city.
Yeah, just another side quest for you. It really just was, it was frustrating every time she, like, talked or you talked to them. Like, she just hates you for no reason.
Mm-hmm. So there's a couple more characters I want to talk about. Yuri, what did you think? I really enjoyed the dynamic.
I think that's when you get Spider-Man as most Spider-Man, because all the other characters you mostly interact with, you interact as Peter with them because he knows them. And so with Yuri, she probably knows he's Peter, but doesn't tell him.
Yeah.
You get, like, just his most Spider-Man-esque, like,
the whole Spider-Cop thing. Mm-hmm. So at first I was like, oh, this is kind of corny, but I'm like, that's kind of who Spider-Man, he's like, he's this dude just making corny jokes and quips and stuff all the time, but it's super. I love their kind of back and forth dynamic. It's really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love that she's, like, serious. Like, she actually does real work, and so, like, whenever he's the whole Spider Cop thing, I love that she's just like, ugh. Like, every time she has to deal with it, but, like, at the end, she's like, okay, he did this awesome thing, I'll give it to him.
Yeah. All right, last character I want to make sure we touch on. Did you pay attention to, like, the Jameson, the
yes, I loved those.
They were so, I felt like that was the most that Spider-Man was saying, like, the game as itself was, like, saying, because, like, he's such this fucking, this character that's, like, this alarmist, like, like, political pundit kind of guy, and he's out there and he's just, like, shit talking Spider-Man always, and Spider-Man, like, has, like, I love that Spider-Man's just always listening to his show.
Yeah, he's always tuning in. I thought, so I didn't get a lot of these during the main campaign. They were very infrequent. And as I was working on the Platinum after I finished, I realized they were infrequent because a lot of them have to do with your side quests and completing activities. And so, like, one of the side quests is Howard's Pigeons, where you go through the city and collect all Howard's Pigeons. And, like, there's a Jameson, just the facts that comes on. And he's just screaming about Spider-Man going around and catching these pigeons. And he's like, we call him Spider-Man, but how do we know he's not a man? Because he's a man dressed as a spider, but how do we know that he's not a spider as a man? And he has this giant web and he's eating these pigeons. And he's how long until he stops eating the pigeons and starts eating us? It's like, what are you even talking about at this point?
And I love that, like, they have these, like, normal ass people calling in. They're like, what do you mean? Spider-Man's, like, saving people, and he's like, oh, whatever, and he, like, hangs up on him.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh man.
Yeah. Anytime someone mentions, like, Spider-Man being a good guy protecting him, he's like, oh, and that's it. That's cut the feed.
Oh man, it's just so good. I love that character so much, and whoever voiced that guy did such a great job of like his voice is so like iconic, and he's just constantly yelling. I love that he's not working at the Bugle anymore.
Yeah, I love that he's not working at the Bugle and that he has a podcast.
Yeah, he's just this angry ass dude. Like he's like this Alex Jones figure kind of. I feel like. And he's just this asshole podcaster that Peter's just always listening to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You know,
as much as I'd love to keep talking about Spider-Man.
Yeah, I want to keep talking about this game so much. One last thing. Here's another. What do you think about the difficulty of the combat? Because here's the thing. I loved the game. I loved the combat. I think it was so much fun. But I actually felt like the entire game was very easy. And I'm not saying this game should have been Dark Souls, but I was like, the combat.
Well, what
it just
difficulty
felt,
you play on? Amazing?
Yeah, whatever the normal difficulty was.
Yeah, that was amazing. I don't know. I thought it wasn't hard. You had to do some things right. I had a couple times where I died just because I felt like I hit circle, but I must not have, or it didn't register or something, so I didn't dodge. And I don't know. Have you done the Sable Outpost yet?
Like two of them. They're actually kind of hard.
Those
are
like the hard parts of the game, and I don't know if I would be able to do those on a harder difficulty, but at like the end of the game, I had the combat down so well, and I was using.
Yeah.
I learned to incorporate all my gadgets
into
it, and all the webs, and like keep people up in the air because like then all the people on the ground can't hit you, and like keep them sparse because you can get from one person to the other really quick. I don't know if it's probably would be more fun on the harder difficulty. But
I guess that's
I
not that doesn't really make sense in terms of like the game though, right? Because he's like Spider-Man, and like why would he get taken out by these fucking goons? But I was just like I was just kind of struck because I'm bad at games. I've made this very clear. I'm horrible at games, but I actually felt this game like I felt like I was really good at it, and I felt like I
don't necessarily know if that's a bad thing because it's supposed to make you feel like a badass.
Yeah, okay,
is what it's supposed to do. Like the Arkham games do the same thing. As they're not the combat's not hard, but it's because you're fucking Batman, and in this game you're Spider-Man, so you're gonna be able to take out these thugs. And like the Sable guys, it makes sense too because these are like trained people, so they're hard to take
and they're
out.
Like trained to take down Spider-Man.
Yeah,
so I guess that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those are kind of a pain in the ass. It'll be interesting. I'm gonna get the platinum for this game. I'll probably get it within the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited to play more. I actually am really considering replaying the game. I want to experience it again, but we're getting a little bit long on time. I suppose we should probably wrap up, huh?
Yes.
All right, this has been episode 2 of the Generic Gaming Podcast. The show where we talk about a new game every week. Next week, we'll be talking about a different game. It might be the two of us. We might have a guest. Who knows? And I don't know what game we'll be talking about. But you can find us on whatever podcast services you like, except for Spotify. It's pretty hard to get on there. Maybe one day. But Eric, thanks. It's been a good show. I'm excited to keep doing this.
Yeah, me too.
And this is us signing off.